once looked into a store, into a window, and saw a sight he could hardly believe. There was a cat sitting in the window of the store. It was a mangy cat. It was a flea-bitten, rat-ridden, ugly cat. Its ear was chewed off, its tail was chewed off, half of its fur was missing. And then he widened his eyes because next to the cat it had a sign. It said, cat for sale, $50. He thought, what? Someone wants 50 bucks for a flea-bitten, rat-ridden, mangy cat? He couldn't believe it. Then he saw something that widened his eyes even further. The cat was drinking milk from a saucer that he recognized as being a Ming Dynasty saucer, worth thousands of dollars. He immediately grabbed his wallet, went into the store, and he says, hey, mister, I'll take that cat, thanks. And here's $50. He picked up the cat and he says, I'll just take the saucer to keep the cat company. And the guy says, you leave that saucer there. I've sold 70 cats with that saucer this week. That man was sneered by his own craftiness. And the Bible says, God has ensnared the wicked by their own craftiness. What does that mean, that God has ensnared the wicked by their own craftiness? Let me explain. Many years ago, I had a kids' club. And after the club, I'd give a big bag of candy to the kids. I'd just give them one each. And I says, line up for your candy, kids. And 100 kids lined up. And as I looked at that line, I thought, man, look at that line right up the front with these little brat bullies pushing their way to the front. And as the line went down, right at the back were these meek, quiet, sickly kids. And I thought, man, that is a line of greed if ever I saw one. And then I had an idea. I said, kids, stay where you are. Everybody turn about face. I said, if you move out of line, you're not getting any candy. And every kid turned about face. And I had great delight in taking that big bag of candy to the other end of the line and giving it first to those meek, quiet, sickly kids. Much to the disgust of the fat brats in the back. And folks, that's how God has ensnared the wicked in their own craftiness. He has turned the line around. In this world where the rich get richer and the poor get stomped on, God has done something incredible. Do you know what it is? Let me tell you. Do you believe the Bible account of Adam and Eve, Noah and the ark, Jonah and the whale, Daniel and the lion's den? Is it what do you do? Of course I don't believe those silly stories. Behold the wisdom of God. The Bible says he's chosen the foolish things to confound the wise. Why anyone with any intellectual dignity, any social standing, would never stoop to believe those stupid Bible stories. Folks, that's the way God has turned the light around. The Bible says he resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And the ultimate in God's wisdom is this Bible verse. Listen to it. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And I know through doing this for many years, the wisdom of God is seen on the faces of those who are too proud to even listen to the gospel, to some guy preach to them, because it's beneath their dignity. The Bible says everyone who is proud of heart is an abomination of the Lord. God has turned that line around and made the door of salvation to eternal life very low. And only those who stoop in humility may enter. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So I hope you'll bear that in mind, because I'm going to share with you the gospel of eternal salvation. I'm going to tell you how the Bible says you can have everlasting life. And I trust that you will forsake your pride, that you'll humble yourself before the mighty hand of God today. This morning, I don't know if you heard that thunder, but I love thunder. I love thunder that rattles the windows of my home. It doesn't scare me in the slightest. You know why? Because I know who's in control of the thunder. I know who's in charge of the weather department. It's Almighty God. When I hear thunder, it thrills my heart, because I know I have peace with the God who created that thunder. So let's go through the gospel of salvation. Do you realize that God himself is going to judge the world in righteousness? And I'm not talking about doomsday. I'm talking about the day of judgment, the day of justice, when Almighty God, who is good and righteous, punishes murderers and rapists. Now, if you're a good person, you'll say, wow, that's great. There's going to be a day of justice. God is going to see to it that people that have murdered other people, that have taken the lives, the precious lives of human beings, God himself is going to punish those people. That's wonderful. You rejoice if you're a righteous person. But if you're a guilty criminal before God, you'll cringe at the thought of judgment day. So let's look at God's law. You shall not bear false witness. Have you ever told a lie? Are you innocent or guilty of breaking that commandment? Have you ever borne false witness? You say, yes, I have. Then you're a liar in God's sight. Have you ever stolen something? You say, yeah, just little things. Then you're a thief, irrespective of what you've taken. Have you used God's name in vain? You say, yeah, yeah, a bit of a habit. Man, think of that thunder. And you've taken the name of the God who created thunder and lightning. You've taken his name and used his holy name as a cuss word to express disgust. The Bible says the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Or look at the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. But Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked with lust? Well, God says you've committed adultery in your heart. You're in big trouble on the day of judgment. Ever had sex out of marriage? The Bible says fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, how's your conscience doing? Conscience means with knowledge. Con is with, science is knowledge. Whenever you and I sin, we do it with knowledge that it's wrong because God has placed an impartial judge on the courtroom of the mind. And every time you lie or steal or blaspheme or lust or commit adultery or fornicate, there is this small voice with our mind saying, you've done wrong, you've done wrong. Folks, listen to the conscience. It's not your enemy, it's your friend. It's trying to warn you. It's doing what fear does for you when you go to step off a cliff. It says, uh-oh, don't do that. There are fearful consequences. There's a 1,000-foot cliff under your feet. Pull back. That's what your conscience should be doing. And you should be listening to it today as we go through those commandments, because the conscience will affirm the truth of each commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. Is God first in your life? Do you love the one who gave you life? Do you love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? That's what that commandment entails. How far we fall short of the glory of God. How far we fall short of that standard that he requires of us. And he'll require account of every idle word we've spoken, every deed done in darkness, every thought that's gone through our minds, God has seen. Every deed done in darkness, he sees us in the pure light. What will you do on that day? The Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. No thief will inherit the kingdom of God. No blasphemer, no fornicator, no adulterer. What will you do on that day? When God manifests all your sins and they come out as evidence of your guilt. What a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But the Bible tells us that God is rich in mercy. This judge, this awesome judge, this creator who made every one of us is rich in mercy. And the Bible says mercy rejoices over judgment. In other words, God would far rather give you mercy than give you justice. He would far rather give you heaven than give you hell. And he made a way for you to be forgiven. The Bible says God was manifest in the flesh. God revealed himself in human form in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. God became a human being to suffer and die on the cross and take the punishment for the sin of the world. When Jesus was on the cross, it was not a good man being punished by evil men. This was Almighty God paying the fine in his life's blood so you and I could leave the courtroom on the day of judgment. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made righteous in the sight of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, that's what God offers you through the suffering, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God offers you salvation from death. He offers you the gift of eternal life. But you must repent, turn from all sin, and trust in the Savior. Now, earlier on, I said that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Listen very carefully. If you're a proud person, if you're an arrogant or self-righteous person, even the name of Jesus Christ will be an offense to you. The name of Jesus will offend you. If you're proud of heart. But the Bible tells us this. God has given him a name that's above every name. That of the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and confess him as Lord. And today, if you'll not repent in humility and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, you will bow the knee to him as your judge. And as I said, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Folks, don't be foolish today. Cry out, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Repent and trust Jesus Christ, and you have God's promise that you'll pass from death into life. Folks, if you've got a Bible at home, please realize this. The Bible is a spiritual book, and it will not make sense to you until you're born of the Spirit. It's like a little kid. Chinese is a very, very complex language. And you and I would find it very hard to pick up a book written in Chinese and read it. And yet a four-year-old can do that. A four-year-old Chinese child can do that. He can understand a book written in Chinese. Why? Because he was born into a Chinese family. He speaks the language. And when you're born again, when you're born into God's family, you will speak God's language and the Bible will begin to make sense to you. So take the time today to consider what you've heard. Repent, trust the Savior, pick up a Bible and obey what you read.
I can read.
Suddenly God's word will begin to make sense to you.